speaker is Casey R. from San Diego.
My name's Casey. I'm an alcoholic.
Casey.
I was waiting for my best friend. She's always late. My sobriety date is January 5th, 2008, and I have a sponsor. What I have come to discover most recently over the past few years is that it's not necessarily about the amount of time that somebody has sober. It doesn't matter that I have 7.5 years, because if I'm not working this program 100% to the best of my ability, then I'm just as miserable. Oh, there they are. Then I'm just as miserable and without a solution as I am than those who are new to this program. I got here just like the majority of us get here. The details of my story may be a little bit different than all of our stories are a little bit different, but I think that one thing that we have in common is that we were out of answers. There was nowhere else left for me to go, and I didn't think that I needed to be here. It was a surprise to my family that I needed to be sober. Nobody even knew that I had a problem. I didn't either. But I was removed from Las Vegas and brought to San Diego, and they said, "Do you want to go to rehab?" And I said, "Absolutely. I'll do whatever it is that you guys want me to do, because I don't have any more answers." And that's what I did. And when I got out of rehab, I did what they tell us to do. I got a sponsor, and I worked the steps, and I experienced the spiritual freedom that comes from working this program. And those first few years were some of the best years of my life. We had, I met people in this program, and they were actual real friendships. It wasn't like the friendships that I had before, where every 6 months I was changing my group of friends because I did something or they did something or I was tired of them. I was actually developing real friendships and people that I could talk to. And I had a spiritual experience. It wasn't a burning bush experience. When I got to step 12, I called my sponsor and I started freaking out. I told her, "I can't sponsor anyone because I haven't had a spiritual experience. This didn't work. We need to do this over again." And so she told me to read step 12 in the 12 and 12 and to read it again in the big book. And what I realized is that I no longer thought, felt, and acted the way that I had 9 months prior to that. That the way that I approached life and the way that I approached my daily situation was completely and totally different. I hadn't had a fight with my parents on the phone in 9 months, and that was a really big deal. My phone conversations with my parents usually ended with me hanging up and my dad calling me back and saying that I had disrespected my mother and that I needed to apologize. And for 9 months, that had not happened. And I realized that I had a spiritual experience of my own. And I knew that I had a connection with a higher power. And so I started sponsoring women. When I first got sober, and I picked this sponsor because her story was different, but the way that she felt and the things that she went through and the way that she talked about the program, I related to what she said, and I wanted what she had. And she used to always tell me that she loved me. Every single time we got off the phone or every time we met, she wanted to hug me and tell me that she loved me, and that was really weird, and I never said it back. And I was just like, okay, that's great. And then I started sponsoring other women, and I understood why she told me that she loved me. I felt that love for those women that I was sponsoring. And so those first few years were, like I said, some of the best of that I have ever experienced. I didn't think that at 24 that you could actually have fun being sober. But what happened after that was that I slowly decided that a little bit at a time I was going to stop working little parts of the program. I'm going to stop talking to my sponsor. I'm going to stop working the steps. I'm going to stop going to meetings. And then I'm just going to stop hanging out with people entirely. I'm just going to go to work and come home. And that's all I'm going to do. And that's pretty much what I did for a couple of years. I would go to a meeting occasionally and hang out with people occasionally. But I was no longer working a program. I was sober. I had absolutely no desire to get loaded. I did not want to go back to that crack motel where I spent my 24th birthday with prostitutes running all around. And that being my normal, that being my reality, and looking around, I'm like, yeah, this is just life, man. You know, 4.0 college student interning for Homeland Security, now in Vegas motels with these people. This is my normal, and I couldn't differentiate the true from the false when I got here. My reality was so completely distorted, and again, that's what happened. Because I wasn't working a program, and I didn't have a connection with the power greater than myself. My reality became distorted, and the thoughts that I was having were not good thoughts. I would come home, and I would say, okay, so this is just how it's going to be. I'm just going to be miserable. I'm going to come home from work, and I'm going to watch TV, and I'm going to be miserable, but I'm sober, so that's okay, and this is just how life's going to be. And the dark, it was like, I described it when I told my sponsor about, it was like this darkness that was inside of me, and it was so painful. It was probably the most amount of pain that I have ever experienced in my life. And I went to my sponsor finally, and I told her all these thoughts that I was that were in my head, and at the end of that, I was like, you see, I'm crazy, right? So I just wanted some validation that I was obviously crazy and that there was something wrong with me. Just like before, when I was loaded, and there was always something wrong with me. It wasn't the fact that I was drunk all of the time. It was the boyfriend. It was the parents. It was where I lived. It was all of these other things. And I'm calling up the therapist. Yeah, I gotta come in. You need to give me something. Forget the fact that I've been up for 3 days. That does not apply to the situation. There's something wrong with me, and I need for you to fix me. And that's what it was. And I told my sponsor, and I said, I'm crazy, right? And she said, no, Casey, that's the spiritual malady. And she told me that I had been separated from the other two parts of the disease for so long, and that I was without a program, that I was experiencing the spiritual malady. And I was relieved. I was relieved because I knew that if that's what my problem was, that I had a solution. Because when I got here and I didn't know what was going on, all I knew was that I didn't want to live the way that I was living. And a room full of people like you were all sober and happy and told me that it was possible for me to be that way too if I just did what is outlined in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and took suggestions from people around me that were working a program that I wanted, that my life would get better. And it did. More so than I could have ever imagined. So when my sponsor told me that everything that I was experiencing was the spiritual malady, I left her house and I cried and I was relieved, and I got home and I opened up the big book. What I have found is that the answer is always in the big book. Always. It doesn't matter what the problem is, and it sounds so cliche, but it's true. The answer is always there, somewhere. And the book tells us that more will be revealed. And that is true. Every single time I work the steps, I find something new. Someone said this in the meeting the other day, and people say this all the time, that they're always adding stuff to the big book. And the fourth step that I was currently on is full of remorse. For some reason, there's just remorse all over this fourth step, more so than ever before. And suddenly appears a line in the big book at the end of the fourth step that, if I am truly sorry for what I have done and would, you know, want God to take me to better things, then I believe that I will be forgiven. And it's just that simple. Like, if I'm truly sorry and I want God to take me to better things, then I don't need to feel all of that remorse for these things that are all over my fourth step. I get to share that with my sponsor, and we get to go on to step 6 and 7, and I get to continue the steps and make amends for those things that I feel remorseful. And at the end of that, it's all gone. And I get to have another spiritual experience. I don't get to stay sober on that spiritual experience that I had at 60 days. I don't get to stay sober on the spiritual experience that I had, again, at 3 years. The book says a continuous spiritual experience, that I have to continually develop my relationship with my higher power. And I don't know what my higher power is. I don't know what it looks like. And I don't need to, because I will think myself right out of that. All I know is that it's there. There is something that is looking out for me, because I have been given more chances than most people deserve. I had cancer at 16, and with a 70% survival rate, and decided to amputate my leg, a decision that I had to make. I survived that. And within 2 years, I'm putting substances into my body that can kill me. Like, never mind the fact that I just spent a year in the hospital. No, it's time to go out and have fun and get loaded because I want to be a normal teenager. And I got another chance. I got another chance when my family said, you need to leave Las Vegas. And I said that I didn't want to go. And they held on. And they kept holding on, and I had an aunt that was sober, and she said, come here and stay with me. And I had that moment in my bedroom all by myself where I experienced pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, and I had no more answers. And I'm full of answers. I have answers that will, you know, run all of our lives perfectly, trust me. But I was out of answers, and at 7 years sober again, I was out of answers. And I went to my sponsor, and I did what they tell us to do. I opened up the big book, and I started at step one. And I went to a meeting every single day, and I reached out to people. I went to meetings that I didn't know, and I talked to people. No matter how uncomfortable it was and no matter how bad my anxiety was, I did all of the things that I was told to do because it worked when I first got here, and it works now, and if in 10 years I'm still sober and I am at a black hole all over again, I know that it will work again. And I don't want to get loaded by any means, but the thoughts that I have is that I would rather be dead than be doing this if I'm not working a program and I don't have a connection with my higher power. And that is what I have learned in my short 7 years of sobriety, is that it's not about the time. It's about the quality. And I base my sobriety on my connection with my higher power and where I am with my spiritual progress and how I'm living daily. Thank you. Yeah.